We're going to be focusing this morning in the book of Isaiah on chapter 6, so we'll give you a moment to find that. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah had a vision of God that changed his life. And we're about to read about that vision. It happened a very definite time in history, in 740 BC, the year that King Uzziah died. He says so right in the passage we're about to read. I want to let you know something. If we ever get a vision of God like Isaiah got, it will change our lives too. And that is my prayer this morning for each one of us, that somehow today we will get a better vision of God than we've ever had before, of His holiness. And it'll transform our lives the way it transformed Isaiah's. Let's read it together. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord." This is Isaiah speaking. "He was sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly." Get the image here. He had a vision of God in heaven sitting on a throne, and his robes completely filled the whole temple. I mean, the majesty of God was just incredible. And then there were these six seraphims. I say six seraphims. Each seraphim had six wings. We think of angels, right? Looking like men with flapping wings in the back like butterflies or something. No, these had six. Two of them, they covered their face. Two of them, they covered their feet. And the other two, they could fly. You say, why did I make them like that? I don't know. You'll have to ask him. But this is his description. This is what he saw. And he said, these seraphims were doing something. These are angelic beings whose whole job was to do exactly what he saw them doing. Look at verse 3. "One cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory." Can you picture this? One of them shouting and singing as loud as he can, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." Here's the other one shouting back, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." And another one, back and again, back and again, back and again. And the sound was tremendous, echoing off of the walls, probably all over heaven. Holy, holy, holy. I've heard it said God is a thrice holy God based upon this verse of Scripture. Why three times? Why didn't he say five or six times? Why didn't he say just once? I personally believe, this is my opinion, and you can do what you want to with it, I believe it's holy, 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 holy the Father, holy the Son, and holy the Holy Spirit. I think that that's what they were referring to. For God is a triune God, one God, three people, and three persons. Holy, holy, holy. Neither one of them less holy than the other. They didn't say the other things about God. They could have said, "Lord God Almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth, eternal master of the universe." They could have said, "God full of grace and mercy." They could have talked about God's sovereignty. They could have talked about all kinds of things about God, how He is just and how He is powerful, how He is going to judge all of His creation. But that's not what they said. That's not what they were crying. They were crying about one thing, God's holiness. That holiness of God is the primary attribute of Almighty God. He is holy, holy, holy. We don't even understand the meaning of the word. I've studied it for years. I do not understand the meaning of the word. I've got nothing to compare holiness to except God. Amen. And I don't know enough about God. But the more we learn about God, the more we can learn about His holiness. And it's so important that we do, because He's called us to be holy. These angels were proclaiming it. And they were proclaiming it and proclaiming and proclaiming it. Holy, holy, holy. Can you imagine how noisy heaven must have been? These were loud angels. And look at this. He then shifts his attention from heaven to earth. The scene shifts. He said, and all the earth is full of his glory. He's seeing the vision of God and the angels in heaven, and then he's in earth, and he's, oh, wait a minute, all the earth is full of his glory. I don't usually tell a lot of stories when I'm preaching, but I got to tell you this one. Yesterday, I got to experience some of the glory of God in a wonderful, wonderful way. And some of you guys can relate to this. Some of you are like I am. You like to go fishing. I do. I confess that as what's not a sin, but I hope it's not. If it is, I'm guilty, guilty. But I got to go fishing yesterday afternoon on a pond that I think that I fished many, many times before, and out in a little boat by myself, and just barely a little bit of ripple on the water. Just beautiful. I mean, it's peaceful. I go fishing to relax and unwind. I do not go fishing to take fish home for Pat to cook. That would be a waste of time. My wife doesn't eat fish. She doesn't cook fish. She doesn't mind if I come home smelling like fish, but don't bring those things home. This is how it's worked out for us for years and years and years. If I want to eat fish, I go to a restaurant. But anyhow, I was out there and I said, Lord, this is so beautiful. I'm enjoying this. It's peaceful. It's just me out here. And first cast, boom! Oh, the whole earth is full of his glory. I mean, I've been in this verse of scripture all week. Thank you, Lord. Nice fish. Boy, I was happy as I could be. I was praising God for the fish. Next cast, there was another fish. Oh, the whole earth is full of your glory, Lord. You're doing great here today. And I didn't catch one every cast all afternoon, but this was only about an hour and a half worth of fishing, and I had some nice fish at the end of the day. And as I watched the sunset and the sky change colors, I watched it turn orange. I said, oh, the whole earth is full of your glory. Lord, I'm getting to see your glory here on the water in the fish. I'm looking to see your glory in the sunset and look at the birds flying back to roost. Lord, I'm getting to see your glory. The whole earth is full of your glory. If we just know where to look, you can see it.
Yes.
Yes. Isaiah was saying that. I just got the extra blessing to give a sermon illustration yesterday. I thought I was just going fishing, but you got the sermon. I'll show you the pictures later. You can look anywhere on this planet and you can see the whole earth of his glory. Go to the mountains. Some of you like to do that. Some of you like to go to the beach. You can see the earth. God's glory at work. You can look at the tiniest cell that he has created and see the glory of God in that. You can see life being formed where there was no life before. God's glory is in that. Everywhere you look, if you know how to look and are searching for the glory of God, you will see it. Isaiah understood that. Listen to what those angels were singing. The scene shifts back to heaven now in verse 4. And he says, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. That was a loud angel. Shook the post of the door to the holy temple in heaven. How big were the posts, how strong, I don't know, but I know that angel was not whispering, holy, holy, holy. Maybe we can learn from that. Our world needs to know about holy God.
Yes.
Maybe we've whispered it within the confines of our church too often and sung it only in here and not out there. The whole earth was full of his glory. It really is when God's people begin to sing his praises and declare his holiness to the world around us. The doorpost ought to shake here too sometimes. Personal opinion. And notice it said that it was filled with smoke. Did you ever wonder about that? I used to wonder, what does it say about smoke? And the only thing I can come up with as I read this and think about it is the details of God's appearance were being hidden from Isaiah by the smoke. He got great detail of what these seraphim looked like, but he couldn't see the face of God. He said, why not? The answer to that question, do not lose your place here, but go to Exodus chapter 33, and you'll find the answer to that. I'll turn with you. I'll give you a moment to get there. Exodus chapter 33. In the early part of that chapter, it tells us that Moses and the Lord were speaking kind of face to face, as friend to friend. I mean, Moses was just having a conversation with God. And in that conversation, on the 13th verse, he said, show me thy way that I may know thee. That's what Moses said. I want to know you, so show me the way you want me to walk. Show me the way to get to the promised land. Show me how to lead these people. I've never led people like this. I need to for you to show me, and I may find grace at thy sight. And consider that this nation is thy people. Lord answering, verse 14, my presence is going to go with you. I'll give you the test. The rest, I'll give you what you need. But look at verse 18. Here is Moses saying, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Amen. Show me your glory. He's been communicating with God, but he said, I haven't seen your glory yet. Show me your glory. Look at verse 20. God is answering. He said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. I believe that's the reason there was smoke. Amen. Isaiah was not allowed to see the face of God. Why? Because God had already declared, if you see my face, you're going to die. I want you to live. I've got a plan for your life. You're my prophet. I'm going to use you, Isaiah. And so, you know, you can't see my face. You can hear my voice. I will guide you. I will direct you. But no, you cannot see my face. So he filled the temple with smoke. Back to Isaiah. If you look at verse 5 in the 6th chapter, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, and because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. What did he say in the very first part of that? He saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he kept hearing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And he said, oh my goodness, I'm undone. I'm in the presence of Almighty Holy God. He said, I'm undone because I have unclean lips. What did he mean, undone? If you were to say, I'm undone, what would you mean? Again, I have to go look words up sometimes. I want to know what the Bible says. I want to know the definitions of the terms. And so I looked this one up, and you can probably do it in your Bible too somewhere. Undone. He said, I am destroyed. I don't deserve to live. I can't live in your holy presence. Oh no. I'm unworthy to be in the presence of holy God. I'm not unworthy to even live now that I've seen how holy you are and how sinful I am. Isaiah understood that. I'm not worthy to take another breath. That's true for all of us. When we think about the holiness of God and our own personal sinfulness, if we really do see that, we'll say, oh God, I'm not worthy to live. I'm not worthy to live, but not the way I've been living. I'm not worthy to keep going the way I've been going. Why you haven't killed me, I don't know. Because you're still holy. And I know you hate sin because sin is contrary to your holiness. And yet you haven't killed me. You've allowed me to live. Sometimes I've looked at my life over the years and I've just wondered, as I thought about the holiness of God, why he didn't just squash me like a bug. Why not? He's got the power, he's got the authority, he's got the right. Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. Interesting. He said, the very words that have come out of my mouth have condemned me. Unclean lips. And I'm living among people of unclean lips. Everybody around me is just like I am. The whole human race is rebelling against God. Are they not? When was the last time you talked to somebody absolutely certain they were going to tell you the truth? Hard to find a truth teller, isn't it? You're absolutely certain you were not going to hear a curse word or a foul word come out of their mouths. Kind of hard to find them. We are surrounded by people of unclean lips, and yes, we can go to the politicians, and we can go every place we want to go, and you'll find people that are not telling the truth. Unclean lips. So many vile and wicked and ungodly words have come out of our mouths, and I say ours. Words that cannot be recalled. You cannot unsay something once you've said it. And God's heard it. And we have to agree, unclean lips. God, I'm ashamed of some of the things that I've said. Oh, maybe I wasn't cursing you. Maybe I wasn't saying blasphemous words, but maybe I was saying something hurtful to somebody else. Maybe I realized it, maybe I didn't, but if I'd have been thinking, maybe I wouldn't have said that hurtful thing to hurt somebody else. Unclean lips. Unchrist-like words have come out of my mouth. Ungodly words. And those words are there forever. And due to God's holiness, we understand that He hates all sin, and that includes the words that come out of our mouths if they're ungodly words. If what we say is sinful, understand God hates it. You say, well, I don't curse. I'm not worried about that. I don't tell lies. I've never lied. Hold it. I've never found anybody that could tell me the truth when they said they never lied. It's just, yeah, that's just kind of built into us. Thank you, Adam and Eve. But what happens when you take God's name in vain? What happens if you say, OMG, because I don't want to take God's name in vain. Isn't that close enough? You know what you're saying. The other people know what you're thinking. God knows too. If you're saying, oh my God, without talking to your God or talking about your God or praising His wonderful name, that is taking His name in vain. Don't do it. If that's a habit with you, quit it. When you find it with your children, tell them, whoa, whoa, wait. That's my God. He's holy. He's almighty. Don't talk about Him so lightly. Just say, oh my God, when you don't even mean, you don't mean it. I wonder how many times you hear this on the news. Anytime there's a tragedy, somebody always says that thing. And I wonder how many of those people even know Him. Wicked lies. Unclean lips. Oh, listen. God would be justified in silencing our sinful voices forever. And when we judge ourselves and we judge the words that come out of our mouths and we judge them against other people, and we may say, well, I'm not so bad. Oh, no, I'm not as bad as I used to be. Boy, God cleaned up my vocabulary. Maybe that's what you're saying. Well, I pray that it's true. But don't get too comfortable in that. Maybe you're one of those people that when we were kids, someone kid would say something, try to make you feel bad. What would you say? Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Did y'all ever say that? Sure you did. Words do hurt, though, don't they? Oh, words can hurt a lot worse. Sticks and stones may break your bones, but your broken bones will heal. But sometimes the damage words have done do not heal. For years, you can still remember those awful things that somebody said to you. Unclean lips. It's important. What comes out of our mouth. And we dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. When we consider the holiness of God, we can see what Romans 3:23 that says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And His glory is His holiness. That sets Him apart from everything else and everybody else. That's the glory of God. When Isaiah recognized this and he confessed his sins, God had a holy cleansing waiting for him. Isaiah didn't know it. He knew he needed it, but he didn't know what God was going to do. He had a holy cleansing waiting for him, and Isaiah had confessed his sins. And when we confess our sins and realize how terrible they are, God's got a holy cleansing waiting for us too. It's different from the one that he got. But let's look at the one that Isaiah got. Verse 6. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. It's a burning hot coal. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin purged. Amen. Burn it away from a live coal off of God's altar. Isaiah, I'm sure, never forgot that. He was cleansed and purified and prepared to serve the Lord by that in a very unique and unusual way. And understand, God was doing more than just taking away his sin. He was preparing Isaiah for what he had planned for Isaiah, how he was going to use him. Don't expect the angel to come and put a live coal on your lips to prepare you to serve the Lord, but God's got another way to prepare you. Instead of touching your lips with a hot coal, he washes you in the blood of Jesus. Amen. Oh, listen, that's how the iniquity is taken away. That's how the sin is cleansed from us. Not by a hot coal, but by the blood of Jesus. Revelation 1:5, it tells us that Jesus washes us in his own blood. Takes away our sins. It's the only way it can happen. The blood that he poured out on Calvary's cross will make you clean enough and pure enough to be one of God's servants. And he'll be able to look at you one day and say, well done, good and faithful servant. You were a sinner. You confessed. You repented. You were cleansed. I called you to go to work and you did it. Well done, good and faithful servant. Let's go back to Isaiah here. We're almost finished. He said, if you have experienced Jesus' cleansing you, maybe you need to be like Isaiah. You need to listen for God's voice because the story doesn't stop there. He said he was cleansed. Verse 8 said, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? As if God didn't know the answer. And who will go for us of the Trinity? Holy, holy, holy. Then said I, here am I. Send me. The same man who had just said, I'm not even worthy to live. I'm not worthy to be in God's presence. I'm not worthy to take another breath. I've got unclean lips. The same one. He said, here am I. Send me. He's been cleansed. Listen, when you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb and you've been cleansed, be listening for God's word. He's got a task for you to do. He's got a project. He has a plan for you to serve him. And you don't know what it is until you get to that point. Isaiah didn't know either, but he found out. Here am I. Send me. And the Lord, did the Lord say, go and tell the people. That's it. Christian, listen to me. Same task. Go and tell the people. Began this message saying, my prayer is that we would become like Isaiah, that we would get a glimpse of God's holiness and our own sinfulness, that we would be cleansed, and then we would hear the voice of God calling us to go do what he's telling us to do, and we would go and tell the people about him. Amen. About his love for us, about his power, about his son, about the cross, about the empty tomb. We'll tell them about Jesus being our only hope of salvation. Go and tell. And each one of us might hear God say that, and we'd say, here am I. Send me, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. I want to fulfill the purpose of you allowing me to live. I want to go and tell. Because all these people around me with these unclean lips, we know what they need. They need Jesus. And if I don't tell them, who will? Go and tell them. Go tell the people. I don't know how you fit into this, but I trust that you're somewhere along this process, this line. Maybe you've never thought about the holiness of God till today. If so, praise God that you're hearing about it now. Maybe you've thought about the holiness of God, but you never compared your own self and your own sinfulness to his holiness and said, I'm not even worthy to live, Lord. Yeah, I know what the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. The soul that sins that shall surely die. I know that's true, and that's true for me. I'm only alive by your grace. Maybe you've never understood that till now, but I pray that you do understand it now. And God wants to cleanse you. He doesn't want you to stay like you are. He wants to cleanse you, and he wants to use you for his glory to go and tell. Because you know people. You know people just like I know people. Then unless somebody shares Jesus with them and they die without Christ, they will spend forever in the fires of hell. And we've got the chance to make a difference. Go and tell. That's what he said. How do you fit into this picture? Have you gotten a glimpse of how holy God is? Can you see your own sinfulness? Will you confess that to God? Maybe you need to come to the altar here this morning. We'll get an invitation in just a moment to do exactly that. Maybe you need to ask to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus today. Say, I admit I'm wrong. I admit I've broken your commandments. I am a sinner, oh God. Clean me. Jesus, wash me in your blood. Maybe you've done all that, but you haven't been willing to go and tell. God had a purpose for you here in this message. He wants you to become like Isaiah. He wants me to become like him too. We're going to give you a chance. We're going to give an invitation just to respond to whatever God's telling you you need to do to please him. Let's pray. Father, we rejoice in the fact that you love us enough to give us this opportunity. Lord, I thank you for what you showed Isaiah. He saw you on a throne high and lifted up, and your train filled the temple. He got to hear the seraphims crying, "Holy, holy, holy." He got to recognize his own sinfulness, unworthiness to even live. And he got to be cleansed. He got to be a man used greatly to tell the world about you. Father, or we have some Isaiahs here today, let them know you've got a perfect plan for their lives, and it begins with recognizing you in your holiness and their sinfulness. It begins with repentance and being cleansed, washed in the blood of Jesus, receiving him as their Savior and Lord today. They can it'll happen for them if they just will. Father, if you're wanting to call somebody to serve you today, may you call in such a way that they'll hear you and they'll say, "Yes, Lord, here am I. Here am I. Send me." Thank you, Father. May we all realize as Christians, you've told every one of us the same thing. Go and tell. Go and tell the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.